had images we have seen until now, and more we will see in the next 2 days. These photographs really hurt us, but we have the duty to look at them and speak about them. As our colleague Hannah Grundler puts it, it is a matter of an ethics of seeing. To describe these photographs, we could quote Elizabeth Edwards. Photographs are, I quote, very literally raw histories in both senses of the word, the unprocessed and the painful, end of quote. They are painful because they often bear the thorns of the colonial world, and here I have to recall that Edwards' work is focused on photographs produced within British anthropology with its colonial legacies. But, continues Edwards, photographs are also unprocessed, ambiguous, fleeting, and changing in meaning. Recordability, namely the ability to acquire or suggest new meanings in new contexts, is part of their nature. It is precisely this rawness and ambiguity that represents an enormous potential, also for photographs taken, handled, collected, exchanged, and archived in what we could call the photography and migration complex. Migration has been debated both as a historical empirical reality and as a discursive concept in the wake of postcolonial scholarship. It involves ideas such as displacement and alienation, exile and diaspora, trauma and memory, nationalism and transnationalism. Handling photographs in relation to migration emphasizes the multi-layered encounters across time and space that are embodied in the photographs themselves. Postmodern authors such as John Tagg and Alan Sekula has championed the pure constructedness of photographs. This position is historically useful, but photographs cannot be reduced to mere representations of power relations in society or in the colonial world. One of the possible paths beyond the politics of representation was indicated by the material approach. According to it, photographs are simultaneously flat images and three-dimensional objects. This dynamic relation between the visual and the material was overshadowed in the 20th century by the rhetoric of photographic indexicality. Since the 1990s, a strand of transdisciplinary studies has shifted attention back to the materiality of photographic objects, overcoming traditional hierarchies of values based on uniqueness and authoriality. Attention was refocused on the biographies or itineraries of photographs and their unstable meanings. Material practices cannot be separated from social practices in the fluid relationship between the analog and the digital habitat. By challenging conventional systems of value focused on photographic authoriality and indexicality, the material approach spotlights photographs that act in everyday life. Popular everyday photographic practices that are often marginalized in historiography play multiple roles in processes related to migration. Individuals participate in these processes not only as subjects or consumers, but also as producers of images. These practices and these individuals are at the center of this conference. Migration has very often to do with colonial structures or the problems posed by their dissolution. In general, material approach and postcolonial thinking are useful to detect asymmetries, also in cases that are apparently far from any colonial context. This critical perspective has made us more receptive to the disturbing elements, Edwards' rawness, that may crop up even in what at first sight may seem the most inoffensive photographs. It is what Christopher Pinney and Deborah Poole call the excess and the noise of photography, its inability of being completely subordinated to the total control postulated by postmodern theoricians. Photography's inability to exclude the random, again in Pinney's words, derive from the act and materiality of the photographic inscription, independently of whether it is a chemical inscription on a negative or an electronic one in bytes. It is precisely from this excess of photography that alternative narratives and moments of cross-cultural encounter can move ahead. Yet, sometimes the gazes and gestures of the photographed people pierce the surface of the image and give those individuals back their silenced voices. Here we think of the subjects reified in colonial photographs, as well in a widespread sort of journalistic coverage, but also of the developers of original creative practices who appropriate photographic technologies for their own purposes. Elizabeth Edwards recently suggested replacing excess with abundance of photography, which implies plenitude and potential. It is not a negation of the rawness and disturbance contained in photographs of migration, but rather an invitation to engage with them. In Margaret Olin's words, touching photographs become presences that act within the world to connect people. Elizabeth Edwards uses the same word presence as an alternative to the concept of a voice or agency of the sitter. Being receptive to the presence embedded in photographs means, I quote, to excavate the possibility of the experience that someone lived through, end of quote, when the photographs were taken, or when they were archived, or restituted, or circulated on the web. The subjective experiences of all the parties involved in the photographic encounter, including artists and activists, will be our concern in the next 2 days, from historical case studies up to the current production of digital pictures taken on smartphones and circulating on social networks. The present global state of emergency makes the topic of migration and also of migrating images to a current focus of many scholarly and artistic initiatives. The Kunsthistorisches Institut in Florence offers an excellent intellectual environment for our discussion. Directors Gerhard Wolf and Alessandro Nova have supported this undertaking and the years of research that provided its grounds. Among the many stimulating projects, we just mentioned briefly the already cited Ethics of Seeing by Hannah Grundler, Ethics and Architecture by Hannah Grundler and Brigitte Zölch, Art Histories and Aesthetic Practices by Hannah Bader. Likewise related are the research projects by Franziska Lampe and by Alison Boyd, and I'm sure many of our colleagues see relations to this topic. Our colleagues in the Max Planck Research Group and in the Phototheque were also important interlocutors. Florence itself is a good location, since Tuscany is at the forefront with its diffuse migrant reception system. It only remains to us to thank the many colleagues who have helped in the organization of this conference, among others Maya Hederli, Helga Zerrat, Johan Haug, Tim Orban, and Michaela Mao. The communication has been in the hands of student assistants Westry Page, Isabella Kraya, and now Lea Mönninghoff. Lea will also take pictures during the conference and will be available for any practical question. While large thank you goes out to the Villa Romana and its director, Angelika Stepken, who will open her house for our roundtable and dinner today. The online radio station Radio Papesse, that is Ilaria Gardens and Carola Haupt, will cover the conference. Great thank you to Armin Linke for this image, and our deep gratitude goes finally to the speakers and moderators, as well as to the audience for what we expect to be a vivid debate.